If you're too busy for God, you're what? Too busy. I don't know when God's going to do it, and I don't know how he's going to fix it. But I do know that he's going to do it because the Lord will make a way somehow. He didn't tell me when he was going to do it. He didn't consult with any of you on how he's going to fix it. But I do know that he's going to do it. Then we can do what? Shout victory. Now, for you that are looking at me like that, that's why I got up here early, if I could look at you like that. Amen. Amen. But, you know, God has just been good. Better to us than we've been to ourselves. He woke us up this morning. And you know what? I would love to talk to you and go way back, Brother Tima, but I, you know, only got so much time. And my name not Paul, and I'm not going to keep you to midnight. Is that all right? So let me get to my text, but before I get there, I was opening up my Bible just a few moments ago, and I didn't even know I had it in there. But they just go to show you. This says undenominational Christianity. What is it? This is a Highland Heights flyer over 30 years ago because a man, D.A. Stroud, is in the book.
Okay.
And they got a map on the back that directs you to this congregation. Isn't that something? That just goes to show you that God is in the blessing business.
Yes,
but Brother Stroud, we want to thank you, Brother Horace Stroud, for allowing me to come.
Amen.
To stand where you stand. Because in this day and time, a minister have, and the leadership here, have to be sensitive about who stands.
Amen.
You know, we are particular. I know I am. And when you are particular about certain things, you give folk chances. But at the same time, it's a good friend of mine in the gospel. He tells this story everywhere he goes. Me and him been friends over 25 years. And he says, King called me one day and told me to come. He said, now, if you come and go to Flunkersville, you on your own. But if you do all right, you'll be back. And he's been back ever since. So I trust that I'll be back again. This congregation is no stranger to me, brother. D.A. Stroud, Sister Mary Stroud, blessing in my life. Brother Ivan Smith, Sister Ruth Smith, blessing in my life. Brother Miles, and blessing in my life. And Brother Wiley, I'm going way back. Brother Flowers, blessing in my life.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to do like the woman when the preacher was preaching. And the woman said, he said, I'm going back to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Said, go on back, preacher. I'm going on back to Adam and Eve. Go on back, preacher. I'm going back before Genesis. He said, I know you're lying, but go on back anyhow. I'm not going back. I'm not going that far back. I'm gonna stay with the book.
Amen.
Amen. Now, for you educated folk, I shan't be long. For you that are in between, I shall not be long. And for you that's sitting there and don't care, I ain't going to be long. All right? Y'all get it at the while. I got to say this about my sister, I'm glad to see her. My wife is with me, Sheila.
Amen.
And my son would have made it, but we had a lot of things going on, so he stayed behind. And Dante, look at your boy, looking good. And Johnny, I don't know where he got it looked from. Looked like he got it from his mom. But no. It's all right. It's all right. But then Linda is in the house, Thompson, that's very close and dear to me. But now I got to get to my text. I got to get to my text. In Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I was talking to my brother. I said, you my scripture reader? Because he had a Bible and a mic. He said, long as you don't go all over the place. I said, I'm going all over the place, but you just stay one place and I go everywhere else. Is that all right? So he said, we got a deal, preacher. Amen. But in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1, later on, God tested the faith and obedience of Abraham. God called. Yes, he replied, here I am, Lord. But he says to him, take your son. And notice here in verse number 2, he says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, underline that whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood
of the
for the burnt offering and rose up
and
went unto the place of which God had told him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now notice here in this text that we find that in verse number 1, he said God tempted Abraham, tested him. Another word, you know, we all are under a test today. Many of you were tested to get out the bed and still, but anyway, many of us were touched and we are tried every day of our lives. But yet, he says to him, I'm going to tempt him. And verse number 2 says, take now thy son. Notice here he said, take now thy son, what? Thine only son. Before I get back to my text, I need to give you some history. God tested Abraham not to trip him and watch him fail, but God deepened his capacity to obey God and thus to develop his character. Just as the fire refines gold and extract precious ornaments and precious metals out of it, God tries us by fire, Brother Tima, that we may be able to stand the test of time. It's easy to run a short race, whether you win or lose, but it's hard to keep on keeping on when everything is in your way. Church, I must tell you that Abraham is going to teach us a lesson this morning. He's going to teach us to keep on trying, even when things get tough. Now notice here in verse number 3, that morning Abraham began one of the greatest acts of the obedience that is recorded in history. He traveled 50 miles to Mount Moriah near the site of Jerusalem. Over the years, he had learned many tough lessons, but this was one of the toughest ones. Why? Because he was going to take his only son to the top of that mountain. He was going to sacrifice his only son to the top of that mountain. Now, I'm getting ready to get to my text, brother. I'm coming at you now. Okay. But now, some folks say he had more than one son. That's the messy folk. Because he said, your only son, right?
Yep.
What he's saying is, this is the only son that counts right now. And the same thing, we are the children of God, right? We are his children, but he said his only begotten son, which is who? Jesus Christ. So therefore, Jesus is the only one that counts. Isaac is the only one that counts right now. And sometimes we get caught up and say, I know about her past. I know about his past. Quit being messy and deal with what counts.
Amen.
What's important now? W-I-N. What's important now? Write that down if you want to. But now, brother, read verse number 1, and we're going to get out of here. Come on.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
After these things. That God did tempt Abraham.
He tempted Abraham.
And said unto him.
Uh-huh.
Abraham.
Abraham.
And he said, behold.
Behold.
Here I am.
Here I am. Come on.
And he said.
Uh-huh.
Take now thy son.
Take thy son.
Thine
only son. The one that counts. Come on.
Whom thou lovest.
Uh-huh.
And get thee into the land.
Wait a minute. The land. He said, get into the land. Now, what is he saying? There's a place. He said, Mount Moriah, there's Mount Olive, there's Mount Zion, there's three mountains there in the vicinity. Again, you see where I'm going. I'm talking about the Lamb of God. Golgotha's Hill, Mount Calvary, is in the same place that Abraham was getting ready to take his son. The same place that God took his only begotten son up on top of Mount Calvary. I'm talking about, behold, the Lamb of God. Come on, brother.
And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of these mountains, which I will tell thee.
He said, offer him upon this mountain where I would tell you. He'd already told him, Mount Moriah. Now, verse number 3, brother, what does it say?
And Abraham rose up.
And Abraham rose up when?
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
And sallied.
See,
past.
Some of us, we got to get up early in the morning when it comes time for worship service, don't it? And some folk don't get up early in the morning.
But how you gonna get here early in the morning if you don't get up early in the morning? Mm. You tell the folk, when we get ready to leave out of here, you tell them they just missed the lesson. Is that all right? Because I got sense enough to know that I don't want to get carried away. Mm. You know, I told a preacher one time, I said, don't get carried away. He said, don't worry about it. I know when to stop. I said, I understand that. But you see them four big men walking out there? If you go too long, they're going to carry you away. See, sometimes you don't get carried away. What does the book say? What does the book say? See, look at this brother. See, he going to make me go overtime, y'all. come on, brother. Verse 3.
And took two of his young men with him.
Uh-huh.
And Isaac, his son.
See, took two of the young men with him, right? He took Isaac, his son, with him, correct? And what else?
He clave the wood for the burnt offering.
See, he got the wood for the burnt offering. And can you see? Wait a minute. We're talking about the clave the wood. Can you see? He took some wood to the top of the mountain. Can you see when Jesus took what? He took some wood to the top of the mountain. He took the cross to the top of the mountain. You can't have a sacrifice unless you got wood. And the wood is the cross. This is a type of Christ, Isaac is. But Christ took wood to the top of the mountain, which is Calvary, the same place that Abraham is going to take wood, Mount Moriah, the same direct place. What else to say, my brother?
And rose up. And went unto the place of which
see,
God had told
you. You can't do no work, Highland Heights, until you rise up. Amen. See, I ain't talking about getting mad and rise up. I'm talking about you got to rise up and get up and go do something. I'm talking like I'm a union. That all right? Because we all will be the same body. Amen. Amen. What other books say?
Then on the third day.
On the third day.
Abraham lifted up his eyes.
See, the third day. Can you see the third day has got a significance? You remember when Jesus went down in that borrowed tomb? I'm glad it was borrowed. He know what borrowed is. A lot of us don't know what borrowed is. My grandfather had to teach me what borrowed was because I always tell him, Pop, let me borrow a dollar. Dollar won't do nothing now, but I ain't that old. I just been around a long time. I used to ask for a dollar a long time ago. I used to buy some stuff with a dollar. Now you can't even sneeze and get nothing. But what I'm saying is this right here, is that I said, Pop, let me borrow a dollar. He said, boy, let me tell you something. You ain't paid me the last dollars and dollars and dollars and cents I gave you. That's not borrowing. Borrowing is saying you're going to give it back. Amen. When you take something, you just need to ask for it. So I just said, Pop, let me have a dollar. But Jesus knew what borrowing was, didn't he? He borrowed the tomb and gave it back. What does it say, brother?
He lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off.
Uh-huh.
And Abraham said unto his young men.
He said unto his young men.
Abide ye here.
See, this is where you got faith at. He told his young men at the bottom of the mountain. He said, you stay here and we will be back. See, I don't know what he meant by that. He might have meant God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if I say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we'll be back. That ought to be enough because we coming back with something else. That's what God bless you with. He was going with the right intent, but he had the right intent to come back down. We. Because he didn't go up there by himself. So he wasn't coming back by himself. If he didn't go up there with God, he'd come back without God. He went up there with God, he's coming back with God. Come on. What does the book say?
And I and the lad will go yonder.
Wait a minute. He said, I and the lad will go yonder. History says that Sarah was 123 years old when Isaac went to the top of the mountain. A lot of times when we talk about lad, we talk about somebody that's real young, right? 12 years old. No. In ancient time, a lad was a young man. He was 33 years old at this time, according to scholars. Guess what happened when my Lord and your Lord went to Mount Calvary? How old was he? He was 33 years old. Can you see where I'm going? I'm saying, behold, the Lamb of God. What does the book say?
We'll go yonder and worship and come again to you.
Wait a minute. He said, we're going to go where? And worship. Yeah. See, some of y'all in here that ain't worshiping this morning, huh? You know, I got to do this right here before I get here. Bad preacher. Let me tell you something. Some of you didn't come to worship. Come to do everything except worship. Come to see how that sister dressed. Come to see how that brother looking, and he went to sleep last Sunday. Let's see if he go to sleep this Sunday. Y'all don't have to say amen. Same folk in union, same folk. Amen. All I'm saying is this right here. You need to come to worship. Overlook some folk. You got to go. I remember there was a sister came to me one time and said, he don't have no business taking the Lord's Supper. He don't have no business doing this. I said, well, you can't take yours if you looking at him. Mm. I'm talking about the Lamb of God. the Lamb of God. He said, let the chaff and the wheat grow together, and he would do what? He gonna separate it. He didn't say nothing about me separating it. Oh, y'all don't have to say amen. I'm right in the high. What does the book say?
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering.
He took his wood
and laid it up on
Isaac. Now, first of all, wood is a substance, right? Faith is a substance, hope for evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, right? So you got to have some faith when you get ready to offer something. And what else you got to have? Go ahead.
Laid up upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand.
Wait a minute, you got to have some fire. You got to have some substance, which is faith, the fire, which is the Holy Spirit. And that don't mean you got to do no jumping them down either. You know what? The Holy Spirit is with me 24/7. I don't know. See, I tell folk all the time, when God sent him, when Jesus left, what did he say? He said, I'm going to send the comforter will come. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit hadn't got off his job yet. Still on his job, right? So if the Holy Spirit is still on his job right now, that means that I ain't doing all of that. When I go to a ball game, if I try to act civilized. I sit there, this is cool. I sit there so cool, man. I think I'm all right. And then if I get somebody that I like, I start moving a little bit. But I proved the fact when I played, I was all off into it. But later on, I don't have to be that way. So what I'm saying is, God's Spirit is with me then. He's with me now. Is with me forever, is with me when I go to sleep. Now, a lot of us, if we gonna predicate excitement on the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't go to sleep, would we? The Holy Spirit lets you go to sleep and lets you wake up. Y'all don't pull on that, please. Well, let's go, brother. We're gonna get in trouble.
And a knife. And they went both of them together.
They went both together. Come on.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham.
Oh, I like this part. Isaac said something to Abraham. What did he say?
He said, my father.
My father.
And he said, here am I, my son.
Here am I. That's the same way God said in Bible, think Isaiah 11 and 6, here am I, Lord, send me. When we talk to him, he will send us. But of course, we got to be offered. What does the book say?
And he said, behold the fire, the wood.
See, I see the fire and I see the wood. But Father, see, that lets you know that Isaac was taught what worship was all about. He knew that in that day, in worship was going to have some fire, and worship was going to have some wood. And he knew that worship was going to have a sacrifice. What does it say in the Romans? It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable is what your reasonable service. Be not conformed, but be ye what? Transformed for the renewing of your mind. He's saying now you're going to have to present something. And he knew enough about worship to know that something got to be presented. Do you know enough about worship this morning that you know you got to present something?
Amen.
I don't care if Brother Stroud will be preaching. I don't care what nobody teaching and whatever, but you're going to have to present something. See, all of us, I'm not on stage this morning. All of us on stage and God is the audience. What does the book say?
But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?
See, where is the lamb? Behold the Lamb of God. See, we got a lamb. We got a lamb, which is Jesus Christ, that had been set for our offering, because we are not able to do it ourselves. I always quote this scripture in Romans chapter 7, about verse 24-25. But he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Who shall deliver me? God.
Amen.
Jesus, the Lamb. What does it say, my brother?
And Abraham said.
Abraham said.
My son. God will provide.
God will what? Provide. Provide comes from the word video. Video comes from the word provide. He's saying that I'm going to show you something. When I provide for you, I'm going to show you what's going on. You have children. A lot of time you do things for them. They can't see it because you are providing. But when they get old enough, they see the video. They see, you know what? My mother been gone from this time side of life since 1997. And I apologize to her every day. And it wasn't that I was that bad. It was just some of the stuff that kids put their parents through. When you tell your child that is hot, don't touch it, guess what we do?
Touch.
Go right over there. That's nerve-wracking to a parent. To a parent. They get all upset, grandparents. They get all, what that boy doing? You're walking out there close to the street. Get back. They tell you 1,000 times and you saying to yourself as a child, I know what a street is. folks still getting hit by, you know, crossing the street. Grown folk, oh, see, I apologize for stuff like that because I was putting her through something and didn't know it. But when I seen the big picture, provide, I seen the video. Amen. That's what he's telling them there. You're going to see the video. I'm going to provide for you. You got to see it before. What does the book say?
So they both went both of them together.
Uh-huh.
And they came to the place.
They came to the place?
Which God had told
us. See, we got to go to the place which God had told us. See, a lot of us go to different places. And then we get caught up in verse number 12. It says, and he laid not thine hand upon the lad, 33 years old. Jesus was 33 and a half when he hung up on the cross. And then in verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him a ram caught where? Some folks say in the bush, but that ain't right. He said caught in what? The thicket. And the reason it's called caught in the thicket, because it's teaching us a lesson about the lamb, the thicket, the thorns, they mean sin. And the same thing Jesus, when he had the crown of thorns upon his head, behold, the Lamb of God. He's saying you got to have a lamb in the thicket. I'm talking about among sin. See, we got to have somebody to deal with sin because we can't deal with it. He said the lamb, Isaac knew enough about it. He knew that the thicket was sin. The thorns was sin. He knew that. Jesus knew that thorns meant sin, and he put the thorn upon his head of the sins of the world. That's what that symbolizes. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Isn't that a joy? Can you see the old man jumping up and down? Said, Lord, I know you will provide. I just can't imagine my son when he get in trouble or whatever, when he's out of trouble, it's a big relief. Can you just see how good God is? But verse 16, brother, I didn't forget about you. Let's see what verse 16 says. Let's see what that says.
And said by myself.
Uh-huh.
Have I sworn? Said the Lord.
Said the Lord.
For he.
See, I keep my promises, he's saying. I keep my promises, for because thou hast done this thing, has not withheld thy son, thine only son, I'm going to provide for you. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son. And therefore, if he give his only begotten son, he's letting us see what Isaac seen. He letting us see what Abraham seen. Abraham had to go to the top of the mountain to get his blessing. The ram was near. The ram was free. The ram was available. Jesus is near. Jesus is free. And Jesus is available. I'm talking about, behold, the Lamb of God. See, the blood of the Lamb. We got to look at the blood. I'm going to get out of here, y'all. But I got to go to Isaiah 53. And verse number 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, and men of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and he hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's an ugly scene, y'all. That is tough to see somebody despised and rejected when they are doing everything in the world they can. Now, wives, don't look at your husband this morning doing everything you can and you being despised and rejected. Husband, don't look at your wife this morning. Try to get along, all right? I thought I'd throw that out there to you. I ain't charging for that one. Now, we're going back to the text. But he was what? Wounded. Wounded for who? Our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace was upon him. And his stripes, because of his stripes, we are what? Healed. Why? Because any stripe I get can't do no good. The marks I have can't do no good. The marks he do can bring salvation unto the world. It's an ugly thing, but it's going to be a beautiful thing after a while. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought in as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers. Is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He's saying he was obedient to God. God told him, let my will be done. And that's why he was being quiet. I know it's tough to keep our mouth shut when somebody's pulling the wrong way on us. But let me tell you something. Every now and then, we got to take a step back. He was taken from prison and from judgment hall to judgment hall. He shall declare his generation. And he was cut out of all the land of the living and transgression of my people. He was stricken. Yet in verse number 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make this his soul an offering for sin, he shall see the seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. If you just do what God tells you to do, it don't look too good right now, but I'm talking about the Lamb of God.
Amen.
We'll come to your rescue.
Amen.
And then in John chapter 1 and verse number 29 tells us, behold, the Lamb of God. John 1, 35 and 36, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, they looking upon Jesus, and he walked and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Can I tell you about the Lamb of God before I get out of here?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Brother Stroud. I needed that. Because I believe in Matthew
6:33,
seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he going to do what? He not going to be first. He not going to be second or third. He said, seek him first. He won't be second. He won't be last, but he will be first. Said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he going to add something unto you all the days of your life. But I must talk about the Lamb of God. Let's talk about him. Let me tell you about him before I get out of here. The leaders cannot ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. You know, the Sadducees couldn't deal with him. I tell folk, you know why they call him Sadducees? They were sad, you see. Y'all get it after a while. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age couldn't replace him. Talk shows can't explain him. He is light, love, longevity, Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is the holy. He's righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternally. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He's my guide, and he's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort, and he's my Lord. He rules my life. He serves him because he is my bond. He is my burden bearer, and he's the goal of my life. I follow him because he is wisdom and wiser, the powerful of the powerful, the ancient of the ancient days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of his leaders, overseer of overcomers, and the sovereign Lord, all that was in and all that is to come. He is everything to me. He never misleads me. He never forgets me. He never overlooks me. He never cancels my appointment. He never forget about where I'm going. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he is my way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me on home. When he is everything to me, because I'm so faithful. He's so faithful to me and you. I know I got a God that's better than the behold. I'm talking about the Lamb of God. I told you I shan't hold you long, but I need to hold you long enough to let you know I love you. Is that all right? You know what? A lot of preachers, and I know y'all don't have this problem down here, but a lot of preachers, they use the pulpit to beat up folk. But I'm here to tell you, I use it because it's called the pulpit. Pull folk out of the pit. It's not to bury nobody, but it's to pull folk out of the pit. You know, if I'm in that pit, I want you to pull me out of the pit. Don't say he got it because he deserved it. Pull me out of the pit. I need to whoop you, but I still need to pull you out of the pit. Well, now how can a good thing come out of a bad thing? I think about Ruth and Naomi. You remember Ruth, when Naomi went to a foreign country, she had two sons and a husband. But when she left and went back home, her two sons were dead and her husband was dead. Don't you know this is catastrophic? Don't you know this thing can turn your life upside down? But I find that Ruth, was of the Moab tribe. Well, they come from the descendant of Lot. And you remember Lot done something bad one day. But before I get there, you remember, I think it's in Genesis chapter 16. That's when Abraham had a bad chapter in his life. Look at your neighbor and just say, bad chapter. All of us got a bad chapter in our life. Every now and then you got to turn around and just let that bad chapter alone. I got some more chapters. You can't read the message till you open up the book. You can't judge a beauty contest with just one single look. You gotta open up the book. That's what we're talking about. But notice now, when Ruth and Naomi, they were going back to the place where Bethlehem, and as they were traveling, Naomi told Ruth, say, go back home, don't go with me. And she said, your God will be my God. Your people are gonna be my people. I'm going back. How can a good thing come out of a bad thing? Something going on here. I done lost everything. I don't have nothing. How can a good thing come out of a bad thing? Well, I'm here to tell you, if something can come out of a good thing, a good thing can come out of a bad thing. What do you mean? Well, Moab is a bad place to be, and that's come from incest. That was a bad thing. But do you remember Ruth met a man called Boaz? He was a good looking man, but Boaz was from the tribe of Rahab. How can a good thing come out of a bad thing? Rahab the harlot. But I find that God put the Moab and Rahab together through Boaz and Ruth. How can a good thing come out of a bad thing? Well, Obed, I believe that Boaz and Ruth got together. They had a son called Obed. Obed had a son called Jesse. Jesse had a son called David. Look how a good thing can come out of a bad thing. From Abraham to David was 14 generations in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17. And then from David to the carrying away of Babylon was 14 more years and 14 more generations. From the carrying away of Babylon to the coming of Christ, how can a good thing come out of a bad thing? 42 generations. How can a good thing come out of a bad thing? 41 bad generations. But then that one is Jesus Christ. I'm talking about, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. God has a way of working with you and me that we can't fantasize. Amen. We can try to come up with all, shake it all like we want to. But let me tell you something. God is in the blessing business. Amen. Pull me out the pit. Amen. That's what it's all about. And I'm here to tell you that God, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. If God sent his only begotten son to hang up on that cross, that we have a right to the tree of life, surely I can take the only life I got and present it to him. Amen. Present it to God. Amen. Folk gonna think you done lost your everlasting mind when you get up early in the morning.
Yes.
Like Isaac and Abraham did, and go to worship service.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. My granddad used to tell my mom this. He said, y'all folk got to be done lost y'all mind. Y'all go to worship service when it's cold, raining, snowing, y'all go. He lived to be 99 and a half years old. And don't you know, at 97, he has four grandsons that's preachers. It's 45 grandkids. Uh-oh. How you get them in? Don't worry about that. 45. And there were four preachers. And they were of the denomination persuasion. I'm standing back. I'm the youngest one. Oldest is just one of them. But the other two, they was up there. They was standing up there. They went to my granddad. My granddad was sitting there in his chair with leg crossed. But he must have learned something from his daughter going to worship service. He said, and the rest of them, he said, come here, preacher. And the rest of them went to walk toward him. And he said, I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the preacher. I said, talking about me, Pop? He said, yeah. I said, See, I got to go talk to Pop now. Y'all get out the way, y'all clowns. Amen. I wanted to call them the circus, but it's all right. But what I'm saying is that through somebody else's life, I was blessed. Let me share this with you, and the lesson is yours. When you understand what the Lamb of God is, understand what he's done for you, then you don't look back. I was raised in a sectarian world. My grandfather was a steward in the Methodist Church, and they wanted me to be an elder or something. I don't know what it was. I wasn't comprehending nothing at that age. Didn't want to be nothing. Didn't want to do my thing. But you know what? I said this. I said, I'll never be a preacher. I lied, and I done already repented, so don't worry about it. I done already repented. I'll never be a preacher. Don't say what you'll never be. Because God got a plan for you. Amen. To behold the Lamb of God. And I ran away from it a long time. I kept going from and Uncle Joe, Brother Stride, I call him Uncle Joe. He would ask me, boy, are you sure that's what you want to do? Yeah. And Aunt Mary said this, be anything except a preacher, boy. Anybody know her? You know that what she said. That do anything except be a preacher, boy. Don't you know some thing gonna happen to you? Look at Joe. I said, it ain't. But you know what? But when she found out, she was the first one to hug me and to tell me, you're going to be all right. See, sometimes in life, you don't want to do certain things, but God will bring you another way. Yeah. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you must call on, I'm talking about the Lamb of God. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Believe his word. Believe it so diligently that you understand what it's all about. And when you believe his word, you understand it. Then when you repent of your sin, Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5. And Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. I got a slide to show you right quick, and I'm done. Y'all say, preacher, you should have showed us them slides before. Guess what? It ain't number one slide anyhow. I got something to show you here. Because you got to pick up the book. See, you cannot. You know, a lot of folk don't want to study God's word. We got phones, we got all of this, and we don't go home without it doing. You know, I can I tell it on myself? When I left the house yesterday, I looked down and I didn't see my phone. I said, oh well. But I said, oh well, it'll be there when I get back. That's what I said. But I sure was doing this here. Then I looked down on the floor, there it was. Not Facebook, but what?
Faith book.
This book right here.
Amen.
Jesus has sent you a friend request this morning. Will you accept? A lot of folk don't accept. I know I don't. I got a bunch of requests on mine, and I don't even look at Facebook. I look at yours. But I don't even have nothing to look at on mine. And the thing is that folk say, will you accept? Confirm, and it don't say confirm to your gurus. Confirm or deny or whatever it do. I hit the one on the right, deny. It ain't that I just don't do it. But guess what? Hit accept this morning.
Amen.
It will change your life.
Yes.
The Lord is a friend that stick it closer than a brother. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. That's what God does. Click it this morning.
Amen.
Understand it this morning. And I tell you this, God is in the blessing business.
Yes.
He'll never, ever let you down. And if you brought shame upon the Lord's church, make a turnaround in your life. Understand that God, you just like the prodigal son, you're on your way back home. Understand that God will forgive you. Don't worry about the messy folk. Because messy folk going to be in your life all of your life. Amen. Folk going to talk about you no matter what you do. If you do nothing, they talk about you. If you do something, they talk about you. Amen. So you might as well do something for the Lord and let them talk anyway.
Amen.
Folk been talking about me a long time. You know that, don't you? I'm one of 11 children. I'm number 7. I told my mama, 7 mean complete. Why you have some more? But as I grew older, I appreciated the younger ones. Amen. I had somebody I could help out and nurture and teach. But I'm here to tell you something, that most of them is tall, flawed. All, you know, most of them tall. Y'all seen some of them the other day when we down here. And folk ask me all the time, got nerve enough to ask me, what happened to you? And I look at them, I say, ask them what happened to them, because ain't nothing happened to me. I'm all right. Amen. Long as you tall enough for your feet to touch the floor, amen, you're going to be all right. God is in the blessing business, y'all. Amen. I know what God has done for me. I know what he'll let you do. His hand is not too short that it cannot say. His ear is not too heavy, in Isaiah 59:1, that it cannot hear. God will reach you wherever you are. Folk have the audacity to say, well, just cause I'm not here. Let me tell you something, Holland Heights. You've been here a long time. Don't let nobody steal your joy. Stay, work, work, work. Because guess what? God is the one going to give you your reward. Not me, not nobody in here. God is going to give you. I'm talking about behold. Have I said enough? Behold, the Lamb of God. I'm like an old car. It take me a while to get started. Now I'm ready to preach, brother. What you put your Bible up for, bro? Oh, Lord, have mercy. But anyway, as we stand and say, come now, come now, come now. Because I know.
Because I know.
I know. I know.
I know.